From the OPUBCO studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Well, I'm gonna fly, fly.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show, the podcast for people who love pets. This is Lindsay Goodyear with NewsOK.com, along with Don Marks.
Hi, everyone.
Carrie Coppernol.
Hi, guys.
And our special guest today is Lucas Miller, who is a children's author and songwriter. He is famously known as the singing zoologist. Welcome, Lucas.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
And the Pet Show, as always, is sponsored by Central Park, your canine connection. All right, Don, let's start out with some pet news. You were telling me earlier that the UK is experiencing a lot of obesity in their pets.
Yes, there's a recent study from Edinburgh University announcing that one in every 230 felines suffers from obesity. So I guess there is more concern about obesity in pets, just like obesity in people. And apparently, the obesity can cause very dangerous ailments such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and obesity-related cancer. And this is from the Edinburgh Evening News. So it's the first kind of a study of its kind in the UK, and it's really concerning some folks. They also did another little aside, and it says that pet owners take about 8 million sick days each year in the UK to grieve for their pets, and that they have said that the death of a pet is more difficult to deal with than the death of a family member. So, serious really business in the UK.
I would like to take a sick day if I lost one of my
dogs. Think I would too. However, I think that it might be less difficult than a family member.
Right.
But, you know.
Who knows?
If you really love your pets, then I guess I can understand that. And then another health-related issue is secondhand smoke for pets. And some recent studies are showing, of course, which is something that we probably should have guessed and may have already known, is that secondhand smoke is dangerous for your pets. It can cause oral cancer and lymphoma in cats and lung and nasal cancer in dogs. And this is from the OSU Cooperative Extension Service. And it says that the cats are particularly susceptible because of their grooming habits. They lick their fur, which has captured the carcinogens, and then that causes the oral cancer. And in dogs, I guess the nasal cancer is more prominent in dogs with longer noses. Mm-hmm. It's more surface area for the carcinogens. And for dogs like pugs with the flattened faces, the more common is the lung cancer. Because it gets directly into their bodies. So, and also, birds, their respiratory system is hypersensitive to any type of pollutant in the air.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So, something to think about. Of course, the Cooperative Extension Service is recommending, if you're going to do that, to smoke outside.
Yeah.
Because they can't leave like people can.
And then your house smells nicer.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, if you're a smoker, you might not be able to tell.
Right, that's true.
So, third story I've got here is that Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus will stand trial for Asian elephant abuse. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. recently denied the company's request to dismiss a case. And the lawsuit brought by the ASPCA and the Fund for Animals, the Animal Welfare Institute, and the Animal Protection Institute, and Tom Ryder, a former employee of the company, alleges that the circus violated the Endangered Species Act by abusively training and disciplining the elephants. So I guess we will see. This trial schedule will be determined next year, and it's expected to start sometime in 2008, which is, I guess, next year.
Wow.
Be a lot of eyes on that.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's all I got for you today, guys.
Well, great. Well, Lucas, thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
You're our first singing guest. Lucas is known as a singing zoologist, so you have to tell us, first of all, how do you become a singing zoologist?
We're all dying to know.
That's not like, a career that you probably start out thinking, I'm going to be a singing zoologist.
No, it happened kind of in kind of stepwise fashion. Mm-hmm. I was a zoology student in college. Mm-hmm. Thoughts of perhaps going on to veterinary school or medical school, and basically decided that wasn't really my path. And kind of got out there doing some educational work. I worked for a group in Connecticut called the Soundwaters, which is a sailboat that would take kids on field trips, and we'd do a marine ecology
program. Oh, wow. That sounds like a dream come true.
I know.
It was a lot of fun. Basically, it was an internship. We were living on the boat, and we made $50 a week. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
But it really put me on my path, and I discovered that that was just something I had kind of a natural talent for. Yeah. Was working with kids. They actually hired me for that job because I played guitar. And they had a guy the year before who'd done some educational songs and some old sailing songs and that kind of thing. And I started doing that, working with the kids, found some new songs, started writing my own songs. I had one called Franklin the Plankton.
I'm sure you've all heard it.
Yeah, it's my number one hit.
Well, that's awesome.
And so then I moved to Austin after that, just kind of on the wind, and knew it was a good town for music. I'd always loved music since I was a kid, and started working for a small zoo there in town, and just continued to further, you know, explore the use of music with education and storytelling. And after about a year and a half there, I just decided that I was going to see if I could make it on my own, and started a business doing programs in schools.
Wow.
I visit about 150 schools a year, something like that.
Good Lord.
It's a lot of schools, yeah. Yeah. And I do a lot of programs for public libraries, too. Those are mostly what I do, libraries and schools. And I was up here, summer of 2006, mm-hmm. and I think it was the summer of 2003, doing programs for the area libraries. And somebody, actually a professor at Oklahoma City University, saw me perform at a library last summer and said, you know, I think my college students would be interested in seeing what you do. So I'm going to be doing some programs for Oklahoma City University tomorrow, and some programs that are open to the public for the libraries today and tomorrow evening.
That... good luck with the college kids. That's going to be a very different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So before we move on, just want to say that Lucas is going to be at the Village Library this morning at 10 and the Choctaw Library.
Wednesday morning.
Oh, and Choctaw Library Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon, and the Edmond Library at 7 p.m. And then Thursday, he's going to be at the Dell City Library at 7 p.m. also. And there's also a public show at OCU if you'd like to attend that. Now you do a bunch of shows. You don't just, I mean, you go all over, mm-hmm. don't you? Where, I mean, talk about your sort of, I guess, lifestyle as a singing zoologist.
Well,
it's very exciting.
It's like a rock star.
It kind of is. there are days I feel like a rock star and days I feel like, what have I done with my life? I try to spend about 5 days on the road a month. I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old at home. Uh-huh. These are human children. And then a couple dogs, of course. And it's hard for me to be on the road for real extended periods.
Right.
So I try to keep it to about 5 days a month. And it can be, you know, most of it's in Texas, which is, I live in Austin. But I get out of state about once or twice a year. I've been to Arizona, New Mexico, Wisconsin, you know, just kind of go all over. But most of it's there. Actually, most of it is within 100 miles of my home. One of the nice things about this for me is I had always dreamed of playing music, but that lifestyle of living on the road all the time is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate in that I can do most of my programs. I leave early in the morning, maybe drive to San Antonio, but then I'm back in time for dinner with the family. So.
Oh, that's great. Now tell us about your books and CDs.
Okay. I have two children's books and three CDs. The CDs are mostly music, but there's some stories. There are some stories on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a real pleasure for me because I've always managed to just find these other great artists to collaborate with. I got some great illustrators for the books, wonderful producers for the CDs, and they're a whole lot of fun. My favorite ages are really like second, third grade. A lot of the children's music out there, they're fun. I just love that age. My sense of humor is just like
Right there
on that level. Yep. But you know, a lot of people see the guitar and think, oh, he's going to be best with preschoolers, and I like preschoolers. But I think because what I do is teach science through the songs, you kind of have to be a little bit older to really get it.
Yeah.
And the second, third, fourth graders really just love what I do.
Do you think they learn better when you have something amusing for them?
I think so. I mean, the music is great for teaching, especially vocabulary words and the stories. A lot of the songs will tell a story, and then it will it'll highlight a certain concept. For me, a song's got to have kind of three elements. There's got to be some part of it that is appealing to kids, whether it's just a good melody line or a clever chorus or something that's interactive. Mm-hmm. It's got to have some kind of science core in there, and there's got to be a story that allows you to bring out mm-hmm. that story or that concept.
So tell us about the Sea Turtle project that you have been working
on. Yeah, well, I actually studied zoology in college, and my senior year I got really, really interested in sea turtles. And I actually met my wife on the beaches of Costa Rica studying the Olive Ridley sea turtle.
Oh, yeah.
it was a neat place to fall in love. And I thought I was going on to study sea turtles. And again, I kind of fell into this line of work and discovered this is what I really wanted to do. But I've kept that love of sea turtles. And last year, I started a program where when I sell a book or a CD, I'm donating 5% of the gross sale to a group called HEART. And that stands for Help Endangered Animals, the Ridley Turtle. It's a sea turtle conservation group. And just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got to drive to the Texas coast, and we released a sea turtle with a little satellite tracker on its back with the funds that I'd raised.
Wow.
It's part of a research program by Texas A&M. And it was neat to see it go off into the surf. And there was people all around, and we were all clapping and cheering. And we looked out there, and she was just coming up for a breath, but it was like she was coming up to wave to us, you know. So this little antenna poke up in her little head. It was really cool. So, yeah.
That's awesome. She's like, I don't normally get applause when I leave. Choo,
coo, ka-choo. That makes me think of Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you can actually, anybody who wants to can see where she's going. They have a live, it's GPS stuff. And they track it all live. So you can go to my website, lucasmiller.net, and at the top it'll say, you know, Tallulah the turtle is roaming around the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, that's awesome. Tallulah.
Check it out. Yeah, I had a little girl. I have a little fan club thing. And
that's so cool.
I put out a little email and said, well, we're going to release a turtle. She's, at that point, she was being, somebody accidentally caught her off a pier in Galveston, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
They love these fishing piers for some reason. They're trying to figure out that. But she, this one, got a hook. So they, some kind person who caught her actually called the animal rescue. They removed the hook and put her on antibiotics for about 2 weeks, and I was sending out this email, you know, does anybody have a name for the turtle? And this little girl wrote in with Tallulah, which I just thought was great. So
Tallulah the turtle
is out there right now. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, would you mind playing a song for
sure,
us?
Sure. I think that's a lot. It'll be a lot of fun. It's almost monarch butterfly season.
Yes.
They'll be migrating here pretty soon.
They come right through here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on the flyway here, and I get to see lots of them in Texas, and we're going to be doing some monarch tagging in October down in Austin. So I made up a song for the monarch butterfly a few years ago. Here it goes. Before it gets cold and it starts to snow, when I'm gonna go, yes, I'm gonna go down to Mexico. Well, I'm gonna fly, 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 fly down to Mexico. Well, I used to be a caterpillar, just a little bitty caterpillar, chewing on a milkweed stem. You know I couldn't fly back then, but I began a metamorphosis.
I wrapped myself inside my chrysalis. I grew and I changed inside. I turn into a monarch butterfly. So before it gets cold and it starts to snow, 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 I'm gonna go. Yes, I'm gonna go down to Mexico. Well, I'm gonna fly, 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 fly down to Mexico. I turn into a butterfly late this summertime, and I spent those nice warm days way up in the north. United States, just sticking out my long, long tongue. Tasting flowers in the sun, but winter is on the way. It's gonna get too cold to play. So before it gets cold and it starts to snow, 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 I'm gonna go. Oh yes, I'm gonna go down to Mexico. Yeah, I'm gonna fly, 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 fly down to Mexico. So when you see this butterfly, you see this butterfly flutter by, we'll blow a little kiss and wave, wish me luck along the way, because I got so far to go. All the way to the mountains of Mexico. The winters aren't so cold down there. I'll be back when spring is in the air one last time before it gets cold and it starts to snow. I'm gonna go, oh yes, I'm gonna go down to Mexico. Help me sing now, here we go. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly,
fly, fly, fly, fly
down to Mexico.
Yay! Oh, that was great, Lucas. We all have these effervescent looks on our faces.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Like little butterflies.
I wish I were in second grade.
I feel like I am. Well, Lucas, thank you so much. And everyone can log on to your website at lucasmiller.net.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, great.
And if anyone would like to email us, our email address, as always, is newsokpets@gmail.com. And our MySpace is myspace.com/newsokpetshow. And we are sponsored by Central Park, your canine connection with doggy daycare, boarding, grooming, bakery and boutique, and more. And you can reach them at 405-858-BARK. Or they're at 5420 North Classen in Oklahoma City. Everyone go out and take care of your pets.